Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on over there? Fire?
How you doing, Stanky Lane?
What's up, man?
High five from everyone.
Took it to the limit.
I have a horrible foot fetish.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox. Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb.
Wall dick, where you at?
Hey, you fired up?
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Maggie, Maggie. Am I tough enough? Do you see my biceps? Your kid's got a jaw like a swing set. Yeah.
Hey, what's up, everybody? What's going on? We are the Touch and Rich radio program, Town Fair Tire Studios, 617-779-0985. I walked in this morning and I heard Amy Lawrence doubled over in laughter. She laughs, Amy Lawrence, if you don't know, you're very fortunate, but she does the show before ours. She's very good friends with John Wallach. She was at his wedding. And
Second one.
The second one. The one that stuck so
correct.
Far.
Correct.
Right. John's wife, by the way, hates me. Did you know that, Rich?
She hates you? I don't think that's true. I think that was temporary. I think she's back to liking you now.
Oh.
I think. She hated you for a while in there, yeah. But yeah. Now she's fine with you.
I have a issue with co-workers' wives. Crash's wife hated me for a long time.
My wife likes you. Always has.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
But we were friends.
Right. Before we got... You're talking about, like, from the outer circle.
Right. Like, Fat Kid's wife hated me. Crash's wife hated me. So all those things. Generally, the wives hate me. But nonetheless, it's because they can't have me. But nonetheless, Amy Lawrence was on, and she cracks herself up. She was talking about spam, and she was having the time of her life. I mean, she laughs at things that aren't... Like, you know how, like, things aren't funny? Like, someone will tell a joke, and it's kind of corny, and you don't laugh? But there's, like, a setup and then a punchline,
sure.
Or it's an abstract thought, or, you know, it's something else. She laughs at just sentences. It'll be like, hey, we have fried spam in the morning. And she goes, like, fried spam in the morning.
Just an observation.
Yeah, it's an observation. Like, no, but observations are you know, like, Seinfeld does observational comedy, but there still is, like, a commonality to it of the absurd. We all experience this in an absurd way, and she just is doubled over in laughter over things that are just people are saying.
I wonder if you just start to go mad talking to yourself every day in the darkness from 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. I wonder if there's part of you that just starts going insane. When you just go to a room and you know that there's not many people listening and you sit in the dark and you talk to yourself and you wonder as you leave, what does it all mean?
Well, I think we all do that. When you're preparing for a show, you have to think, what does it all mean?
But at least,
just
like,
dust in the wind.
But at least, Fred, we get like some feedback. You know, like,
there's people
who listen to the show. But I mean, could you imagine like from 2 to 6 in the morning?
Well, she's got her crew. I mean, she's got her crew to keep her company. I mean, they'll tell her what's going on with the spam.
Okay.
And she goes, all right, you spammers, on that note, bye.
I just wonder if you honestly just start losing your marbles when you're just sitting there just talking to yourself.
No, I think that
it's
she...
it's dark outside. You don't see a human being other than, like, the two weirdos that work on your show.
Nick, answer the phone. Just answer the phone. Just let's set a precedent today that you're going to answer the phone when it rings. Let's roll out just saying we're going to answer phones.
Don't get too mad at him because his heart might beat out of his chest.
I know. He's already been hugged and everything else. I've tried to defend him from that.
Yeah.
You're just joining us.
But
Nick
that was
is,
me not thinking.
Nick is very much. Close to death.
It's nearly dead, Nick. Yes.
Yeah, he's got a heart valve and he's got everything else. The disease ate away at his body. All right. So anyway, John, you were telling me,
yes.
Amy Lawrence, I love that she's our lead-in. You were telling me Amy Lawrence it was Ask Amy Anything.
Yeah, that's every Wednesday.
Which is revolutionary radio. It takes a lot of effort. Mm-hmm. But she said, Ask Amy Anything. And what was the talking point?
One of the questions to her, and I heard this on the way in, was, do you ever talk to your dog? And she said, well, yes, I talk to my dog a lot more than a lot of people. And that kind of segued into talking to cats. There was a question about cats and whether or not you interact with your cat and talk with your cat. That was about 10 minutes.
John's trying not to laugh.
We've had the worst lead-ins. Why are you trying not to laugh?
I'm not trying at all.
It was that bad?
It's great.
John's dying. I haven't seen John laugh this hard in forever.
Because he knows she's a friend of her.
Okay. But they're not really friends. She wouldn't even come in studio with us.
The segment was fantastic. I'd do it again. They're going to replay it at 2 tomorrow morning.
I mean, she really is like a very, it comes across as a very lonely woman, just with animals strewn about the house, having conversations
John's
with them.
John's going to die. Look at him.
I didn't hear it. Apparently it was that bad.
Oh, that's too bad.
Apparently it was all just that awful. I didn't know.
It was great. I don't know what you're talking about. I think it was fantastic. I think we should do the same thing.
Do you talk to your dog? Yep. All right. Well, what about your cat? Well, let me throw one out of left field here. Your gerbil. You have a chat with that?
Well, John, I'm glad you're sitting here and listening to that. I mean,
I'm trying to go through in my head the lead-ins that we've had. Now we had the
religious
Mark Stein, who was not Mark Stein, Stein was David fan, Stein.
David Stein was fantastic.
Yeah, he was great.
He was so bad. I mean, so bad. He was the worst radio personality I've ever heard.
But he was so bad that it was good.
Oh no, it was fantastic. Yeah. He did Faith Through Sports. Sporting News Radio Network, and he did Faith Through Sports.
Yeah, but the funny thing about that was you could see that he really was in a big lot of trouble. Yeah. Well, you know, even though he was
hanging on.
The message of positivity.
You know, he was.
The dark side was not that far away.
He was hanging on by a string.
He was Jared from Silicon Valley, where he would try to stay on message about the good things of the world, and he would just let something slip. It's like, whoa, this guy was a dark life.
there's an act involved here.
Yeah, he was like trapped in a closet, like wanting to kill himself.
We've been doing Random Act of Kindness Monday for over a year. Last week we suggested, since it was Girl Scout cookie season, to give the $4 to the Girl Scout and tell her to give the cookies to somebody who looks hungry.
By the way, that's wildly
fantastic.
Irresponsible.
No, I know. That's fantastic.
Go to the wild man.
Don't do that.
Screaming at the moon. And here, 8-year-old Girl Scout, just hand this crazy man who may have a knife on him these Girl Scout cookies. The other thing is, does it seem wildly inappropriate to anybody else that he's talking about Girl Scouts while Skinamax music is playing in the background?
I didn't even think of the angle
of the girl giving. I just thought about the homeless guy going, thanks for lunch. A bunch of Thin Mints.
Just give this feral human on the corner, 8-year-old. But listen to the music. It's like, what are we doing?
Now, we've been doing Random Act of Kindness Monday for over a year. Last week, we suggested, since it was Girl Scout cookie season, give the $4 to the Girl Scout and tell her to give the cookies to somebody who looks hungry.
And next, Boxing Helena. Like, I mean, honestly, that is like something that would be on at like 11 o'clock at night on Cinemax.
Boxing Helena.
Yeah.
Like Emmanuel.
I've never heard of that either. What is that?
Boxing Helena? Oh, that was that movie that like there was a ton of lawsuits from it. Oh, there was some famous actress that was supposed to be in it. It was that weird dude that was always on Cinemax. It was the guy who, Sherilyn Fenn from Twin Peaks was in it.
Okay.
And the whole thing was like he had an obsession about like loving women and cutting off their arms and shoving them in boxes.
but then he would like make sweet love to them before and after. You never heard about that movie?
No.
Who
no.
was the actress? There was somebody who signed on to do it.
Like and then, Emmanuel?
Then when they got onto the set, was like, this is effed up. And they're like, what, did you not read the script? And she said, I'm not doing it. Then they ended up suing her for millions. Maybe it was Madonna and Kim Basinger. That's who it was. It was like two huge stars. Mm-hmm. And then apparently they both got duped into thinking it was something that it was. Like, oh, it's about a guy who wants to make love to a woman after he cuts off all their limbs.
Huh.
No, I missed it.
Yeah. And Cinemax to me was all Malibu Express and Black Emmanuel.
Oh, yeah.
The Emmanuel movies were very disappointing.
There were like five or six of them,
yeah,
right?
And they never an attractive woman in it.
I told you my wife had to screen for TNT and TBS like all of the Andy Sidaris movies. Like all of the Malibu Expresses, Picasso Trigger. Oh, my gosh.
Guns
was one. Like, yeah. She had to do the entire Guns Andy Sidaris collection.
Pandora Peaks. And how do I know that? It's because I went, who the hell is this?
Who is the male star of Guns?
Oh, it's Eric Estrada.
Eric Estrada was the male star. Yes, it was.
How about that?
Hard Ticket to Hawaii was another one that she had to watch.
Hard Ticket. Tough Trip to Paradise.
She would just call me from work and just, I would answer the phone and she'd be playing over the phone a scene from it. It would be like, ooh, Anchors Away.
What did Andy Sidaris do before he was a softcore? It's a little bit to be soft. It's a little more less even than
like
softcore.
Basic cable, like evening shows. Yeah, he did Monday Night Football.
He was the director of Monday Night Football.
Yep,
and he was the first to show hot ladies in the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Is what he did. All right, Rich. Well, we've established that Amy Lawrence is terrible, and we've established that Andy Sidaris has indeed made Picasso Trigger.
Yes, he has.
Hard Ticket to Hawaii, Malibu Express, and Guns. And that's just off the top of the head. What do we have coming up?
How about the Red Sox may never lose again?
Yeah. They big one last night.
It's amazing how they win these games.
And big one last night for the local nine. Mm-hmm. We will get to that. Here's the CBS Sports Minute brought to you by South Shore Bank.
For the latest podcasts, the latest sports news, and for Tetra and Rich, download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
98.5, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Rich, exciting times yesterday in Toronto.
Yep, and as I said, the Red Sox might never lose another game.
Moreland trying to get something in the air. And there's a high fly ball right field, very deep. Reaching back, turning, kiss it goodbye. In the air indeed.
That is Nesson, and the Red Sox bullpen tried their hardest to hand over a win to the Blue Jays, but even they couldn't overcome Boston's long ball in their 10-7 win in extra innings.
Woo!
You know you're having bullpen problems when the one guy you thought you could depend on is having one of the worst stretches of the season.
Well, the 3-0 pitch. There's a shot, driven deep, back it goes, it is gone. On 3-0, he launched it. And has tied the game at 5.
You know what happened when I saw that? I said, we're going to do this again, aren't we? This is going to be another one of those extra innings, and they're going to end up coming back. But sure enough, Craig Kimbrell, he blew the save in the bottom of the ninth, and Toronto ties it. Kimbrell has had a rough several weeks, allowing runs in 4 of his last 5 outings.
He should take longer to throw.
Yeah, it does take a while. He's very bend over in the stare down.
Very intimidating with that when he bends over like that.
Well, he was shaky on Saturday against the Yankees, and last night he blew his 4th save of the year. Also, Drew Pomeranz was a mess as well. Even though he only gave up 2 runs, he issued 5 walks in just 4 2/3 innings. He also registered just 1 strikeout, recorded only 3 swings and misses. But then again, when the Sox are hitting well, who the hell needs pitching?
High fly ball right center field. That's high and deep.
What is that, Fred?
On the run, Pilar. Hey! Racing for the wall. And outside of here, a home run for Jackie Bradley.
Send one to a boy in the Army.
Red Sox open it up here in the 10th. 10-5.
You got to open it up in the 10th. Open it wide, baby.
Who was that, Mr. Announcer Guy?
And you down with JBJ? Yeah, you know me.
Yeah. Yes, it was Jackie Bradley Jr. Yeah, you know me. Just a gratuitous salami because the Sox had already taken the lead at that point.
Yeah, that was That was just one for to pad the stats.
Yeah. Actually, they kind of needed it. All things considered, they brought in Tyler Thornburg, who gave up a long two-run homer in the bottom of the 10th. So that extra two-run shot was helpful.
Listen, it's all about dongs, and that's what we got going today.
It's life, not just baseball.
Well, it's all about digging the dongs.
Some decent dongs last night. By the way, one underrated play from yesterday's game was when Sandy Leon, it was a bases loaded at that point, and he made
sure
picks
it up and he tags the man coming from third. I mean, he's a little smart baseball
just
play,
an excellent baseball
heads
play
up
by
heads
baseball
up
guy.
Heads up play by Sandy Leon.
My question is, and we documented how bad the middle relief has been, and Matt Barnes has been decent, but you know, has now given up three runs in his last nine outings. I mean, this is the worst stretch of pitching for him all season. And I hate to quote A-Rod here, but I'm going to quote A-Rod. He said on Sunday night, you know, in August, that's when you begin to tighten things up. That's when you begin to figure out who can pitch in the playoffs, who's ready to play in the playoffs and who isn't. And, you know, Tyler Thornburg now is an ERA in the high fives.
You know, you pick someone up on waivers.
Craig Kimbrell has given up runs in four of his last five outings, five runs in his last five and a third. This is a contract year for Kimbrell, by the way. I mean, and he's 30. I mean,
you're not giving him
anything. This is, if you want to make some cash, you got to be good from here on in. He's going in the wrong direction. I mean, Barnes, Thornburg, and Kimbrell are your three best relievers, right?
Yep.
And all this time, I've been under the illusion, okay, you got to figure out a way just to get the ball to Kimbrell and he'll lock it down. Well, you know, the last 2 weeks have not been good, and we're here starting the second week of August. We got about 40, 50 games left. This team is 80-34. This is the best Red Sox regular season team I've ever seen in my life, and there is just one glaring weakness that they did not take care of, and the three relievers you're going to depend on if you don't manage to get an arm between now and August 31st are all headed in the wrong direction. I mean, this team is clearly capable of winning a World Series. And if they don't at least get there, this would be a disaster for me. Well, and the one thing that could take this ship down is the bullpen.
Well, on top of that, the starting pitching yesterday wasn't that great. And as far as Drew Pomeranz is concerned, Alex Cora knows that he might have to start making some decisions regarding his starting role.
We got the rotation all the way to Sunday, and then we'll make decisions. I mean, we got Monday off, Thursday off. We play those two games in interleague, so we'll talk about it during the week, and we go from there.
That sounds like a non-commitment right there.
No, he's done. That's it. You're not going to see Pomeranz again. They listed the starting rotation for the rest of the week. I think it's Johnson tonight, then it's Porcello, Ovaldi. They have a doubleheader on Saturday, and they wouldn't commit to pitch Pomeranz in the doubleheader.
Yeah, that sounds...
I mean, I would think the guy who's pitching tonight, Brian Johnson, who's been pretty good, is going to take his spot in the rotation at least one time through, and then you have Sale coming back Sunday and Eduardo Rodriguez, I guess, coming back this week or next.
Well, so, Pat, go ahead, sir.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey.
Hey, they're unbelievable, the things that they're doing in the coming back. I haven't really been paying much attention to them, but now I am. I just want to give them a shout-out that they're playing unbelievable. And I also just wanted to give Remy a shout-out. I know he's getting ready to deal with his fourth round of cancer there. Fifth, so good luck, Jerry.
Yeah,
Remy.
Unfortunately, it's his fifth. It's his fifth in 10 years, and it's just awful to hear that. You feel something awful in your stomach whenever you see the news break, and unfortunately, it's happened all too often. Well, here's Drew Pomeranz after last night's performance, using the word frustrated a lot.
It's a little bit frustrating, you know, kind of like this whole year. I feel like something's just been holding me back a little bit. I don't know if I'm blocking myself off or whatever it is. It's, you know, it's really frustrating to, you know, just kind of go out there and, you know, roll through outs. You know, just kind of lose a free hitter or two, and then I get it back. And
then you get frustrated.
You know. It's really frustrating.
It is. Well,
he was good last year, too. He won 17 games in an ERA in the low threes.
He was good.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, J.D. Martinez, obviously, is someone who is now in the discussion or has been in the discussion most of the season for MVP. Him and Mookie Betts. And someone said, hey, you guys talk about this, J.D.?
Hey, did you and Mookie ever get around about MVP or anything like that?
Josh Rouse, snap
out. I don't care about that. No, I'm not even... Like I said, you guys know how I am and the way I kind of answer all those questions. We're worried about tomorrow. That's it. We're worried about tomorrow and the next day and what we got to do to win. You know, these are all kind of stuff that you think about when the season's over. But right now we're on a mission and that's to just keep doing what we're doing and win a World Series.
You know, he doesn't want to be the MVP? Please. Everyone wants to be the most valuable penis on the block.
What?
What the hell are you talking about?
Put it on the table and let's measure.
Well, he was talking about dongs earlier.
That's
huh?
how that's how Jeff Fisher would do things.
Is that what he would do?
What are you guys in a little training camp brawl?
Is that
him on the table and race for papers?
Okay. All right.
That's right. Let's count veins.
I guess this is appropriate. This song is playing.
Is this too
Stink Boogie?
All right. Yeah. What does she do? What kind of boogie does she do?
She wants that tube steak, baby.
How do you go on stage playing a song called Two Snake Boogie?
Because all of your songs are like this.
It's Texas blues. It's good old-fashioned Texas blues.
About tube snakes.
Yeah. What do you want about What do you know about it?
She wants
a trouser panther. She wants to give it a shove.
Trouser panther,
She wants the trouser panther. Yeah. That zipper don't stand a chance.
Well, they already had Velcro fly. You know, when talking about the difficulties.
That's right, they actually did. Woo! So many hot mamacitas in the crowd tonight.
This is the era when they just told the drummer to stay home. We got a keyboard. We can just press start.
I was going to say, they have three guys in the band and they left one behind?
Listen, he don't have a beard.
It's like you don't need to do anything. Just press start on the drum machine.
Man.
And you're all set.
You don't have a beard.
Do the Velcro fly? Dude, Velcro flies.
Expose yourself.
Did you ever have a Velcro fly? The only thing worse than a Velcro fly was a button fly.
I think if you got like, what were those pants called? that like halfway down your, or they were like
Z cavs?
No, Z cav reaches came up very high. They were the AC Slaters.
They were just like an embarrassment of pleats.
What was the skate pants when we were very young?
Skids?
Did Skids have a Velcro fly?
No, Skids just looked like clown pants.
Oh, parachute pants had a Velcro fly. Kamikaze pants had a Velcro fly.
What were kamikaze pants? Because parachute pants were like kind of like the leather ones, right?
Well, they were like a synthetic. Well, they could be any material that was looked like leather, but they would have zippers all over them. And then kamikaze pants had a zipper that went down the sides and would unveil another color. That's what. And then you would have an OP shirt on that said, like, surf's up, and it would be like a gorilla surfing on the waves.
At least they weren't wearing a Genera Hypercolor, which was the kind that it said, the color changes with your body temperature, which is awesome because, like, all the hefty kids would have, like, these huge, like, there would be a dark circle around where their nipples were and under their armpits.
You know what?
You felt bad for him. You're like, oh, come on. Why would you do that? Where are you the sweatiest? Let's show the world.
I've seen a lot of guys over at the JCC swimming with polos on.
Swimming with polos on?
Yep. Guy had a sweatshirt on the other day over there in the pool.
What? Like in the pool?
Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's religious reasons or what's the deal. But
I didn't know there's anything religious about swimming with a polo.
Yeah. Oh. It's very religious. I don't know. But I've seen it a couple times. And then not at my pool, but at other places. You can't tell if a kid's fat because they'll have a shirt on. And you'll say, I wonder if he's fat.
Well, the rash guard has saved the integrity or what's the word? Shame. Now that the rash guard is something that's acceptable, see, when we were kids, if you didn't wear a shirt, that just meant that, you know, all right, well, you're hiding a little bit of the jib.
Rash guard is what?
Rash guard is like, it's a shirt that is kind of made out of like the Under Armour type of thing that keeps the sun from getting a sunburn.
Yeah, you can't tell if a kid's fat when he's got one of them on.
No, I mean, it's like now it's kind of acceptable that kids wear that. Before, it was just like, you didn't have a shirt on.
Yeah, sometimes a kid with a t-shirt says, what are you doing? And then you go, oh, hey, wonder what's why that deal is. All right, Rich, what do we have coming up?
Well, the Patriots, you can finally get to hear from Eric Decker. On top of that, we've got a little bit of news that Brad Stevens broke yesterday about the health of Gordon Hayward. Also, he speaks about Isaiah Thomas's wanting to come back to the Celtics this offseason.
All right, here are the headlines.
Stay tuned for Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
98.5 to Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Rich, what else is going on?
Well, it's almost time. We're one day away from semi-almost kind of real football. We've got the debut of the preseason team of Dan Roach and Matt Chatham, who's going to be on the show with us in a little less than an hour. And they will be doing the broadcast because we are indeed the flagship station of the New England Patriots. 7:30, is that when you said?
Yes, kickoff.
Okay, does that include the entire 3 hours of pregame that we give the regular games? Or is this, do we get that as well? All right,
I'm getting
I'm getting a thumbs up from the other room.
So 4:30 pregame, and that's Bertrand and Gasper. And then kick off at 7:30 with Dan Roach and Matt Chatham.
What a nice easy day for Felger and Maz. So I guess to make up for it, we're going to get a couple of easy mornings because I guess when Bruins season starts, the preseason, there's a couple games in China.
Yes.
So you're going to hear Bruins hockey.
Oh, really?
During I forgot to tell you about that. So there's two games that they're doing in China, and they're on, I think, the puck drops at 6:30 in the morning. So like during our show... You know, we're going to do, like, obviously, during the intermission, we're going to, you know, be on the air. But they're going to, they're going to have us on the intermission. Because I guess they don't have anybody to do the intermission out there.
What do they do during regular games?
They send it back to the studio.
They send it back to the studio.
Yeah.
So we have to sit here during a Bruins game?
We
have to come out to Dorchester to sit here?
Well, I mean, it's not for the entirety of our show.
But there's one game that is during our time slot. During the preseason. It's Wednesday, September 19th. Puck drops at 7:30 in the morning.
Oh, for some reason I thought it was two games, but you could be right.
There are two games overseas, but apparently one of them is at 4 a.m. on a Saturday morning.
Okay.
That's what I'm reading here.
Okay.
Real quick.
So so there's one where at 7:30, so at 7 o'clock they'll probably go to the broadcast, and then we'll be here for the intermission. And then probably
what the hell are we? Why don't they have a guy who covers the team for a living do the intermission?
Well, maybe they'll want us to have like Haggerty in studio or something like that.
What, they're not sending him to China?
I don't know. If he would be in China.
Who have you had this discussion with?
It was when you were out of town. It was Mike.
Yeah,
Thomas
Mike came in and told us.
Yeah. And I thought it was kind of cool. I mean, that's a really interesting morning.
I don't understand why you have to come in and sit here and then do intermission.
Well, the first hour of the show from 6 to 7.
Yes, I understand that.
And then you know if the game starts at 7:30,
there's absolutely no way it's not over.
There's a chance in the last 15 minutes, maybe.
No, there's not.
Maybe.
What, a game's going to go 2 hours?
I don't know. It's, you know, in China. It's
not running time. There are still commercials. And if it's an Olympic hockey game, it's 2 hours because they don't stop for anything. But commercial breaks, 2.5 hours. The game will end right about the time the midday show's about to start.
But no, seriously. Isn't Beers and what's-his-face, they do intermission.
Judge Surratt, they do part of it. I honestly think, ultimately, you two guys will not be needed, and I will.
Okay.
I'll have to do updates, like score updates and news and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I don't think there'll be like a long talk show break. I think they'll do a lot of stuff on China. They're out there. They'll pre-produce segments. I honestly don't think you guys are going
to
be.
Yeah, ready. It would be silly to have us.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that'll be a fun morning, though. At least.
Yeah.
You know,
for you guys. 7:30?
Like, you're doing hard work.
That's true. I'm still here. You're not. That's my point.
You still got to get up in the morning and come in.
Yeah. That's correct. So that's our one little gift that we get. But Felger and Maz are going to get one this tomorrow. They're going to be able to hop off the air right around 4:30 for the Redskins preseason game one. And
they'll get home in 2 minutes.
That's a good point. If you guys have to leave here at 7 o'clock,
I mean,
or 7:30, you're not going home any time quick.
Yeah, at 4:30, they can try to leave here. They'll get home by 9.
Right. Just go down to the South Bay AMC and just see a movie and then leave afterwards because you're going to be getting home at the same time, I would think. So Eric Decker is a guy you're probably going to be seeing a decent amount of. In game one, here he is talking about practicing with the Patriots.
No question why they consistently win, why they're consistently on top, just the way they work. Every detail, everybody throughout the building, you know, does their job to the best. And it's quite fascinating to, you know, be a part of it and just trying to fit in.
So obviously some of the big news from this past week was the release of Malcolm Mitchell. And it sounds like Bill Belichick was actually a fan of his and that he did everything he could. Here he is being asked about it.
He did everything he could. That's unfortunate that didn't work out, but
it was your decision.
I don't know how he could have put any more into it than he did.
Oh, he's hurt. He's not going to play.
Need that roster spot. We remember the crossover with Zolak and Bertrand. They basically said the same thing. Patriots love the kid, but you can't. If he can't get on the field, you can't spend
then why
a roster
the,
spot.
Then why
on
the
him?
Healthy designation? Like that was weird. Why
that
did
was
they,
very strange?
Why maybe did they so say that?
Because he could get picked up by someone else as a favor to him. I would imagine.
Just doing him a solid?
Yeah.
Just kind of lying there?
That's what I imagine.
Okay. Well, I mean, yeah, listen, let's hope he gets picked up. I know he passed through waivers, so he's indeed a free agent right now. And then Bill Belichick was asked a super cool question by somebody in the press. I don't know who asked this, if anyone can figure this out. Let's listen to the voice.
Coach, you've had a lot of good weekends probably, but this weekend, any loss on Saturday, Red Sox, Yankees, Sunday night, does that sort of rank as one of the best weekends you've had in some time or maybe
ever? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was good. I wouldn't put it up there with some of the championships that we've won. I think I'd be stretching a little bit.
Hey, what is it? You like a hot dog?
Nice hot dog. A nice hot dog sliced. You like it, right?
That's so good. It's scary. That's really, really
that's
good.
That's because I've heard that probably 1,000 times.
You no, like, but I've heard stuff like voices it, right? Hundreds of times, but I can't you do like, voices like that.
You ever had a nice grilled hot dog sliced? Oh, you like it, right?
That's so good. That's the best part of that is you like it, right?
When
come
he
on,
said that,
tell me you like it.
I had to rewind it like 3 or 4 times.
Oh,
like,
I can listen to that clip
like what's
a thousand
doing?
Times.
Like, what's he talking about?
What's it like to win? What's the common man like? You like an, hey, kid, what do you like, a hot dog?
Does this ever get old? Do you ever not like it? Having a nice hot grilled hot dog sliced? You like it, right?
Just scotch and hot dog.
That is really the best.
Just wasted.
I just don't know what he was trying to. The point he was trying to. It's like everyone loves hot dogs.
All I know.
Everyone can relate to hot dogs.
His eyebrows must have been going nuts.
You like it, right? And he does like the Groucho.
Does this ever get old? Do you ever not like it? Having a nice hot grilled hot dog sliced? You like it, right? Hot dog. Do you ever not like it? Having a grilled hot dog sliced. Hot dog.
Sweetheart, call me Arcade Kid.
You like it, right? Hot dog. Hot dog. Sliced. Hot dog.
Now we got I always buy him lemonade.
Hot dog. Hot dog. No problem solved.
So I call him Mr. Lemonade.
Hot dog. Hot dog.
That's cool with me.
Do you ever not like it? Having a nice hot grilled hot dog slice. You like it, right?
Aw, thanks for stopping by.
You kiss that chuckle? You like it, right? Oh, Mr. Kraft, do you make us laugh?
Mm-hmm.
You certainly do. And he walked into the old press conference.
Who?
That was not Robert Kraft?
Oh, that right there?
Yeah.
Yeah. The hot dog thing? Yeah.
No. The guy who asked the question.
No.
Oh, I thought it was Robert Kraft.
No.
I thought he walked in and was like, hey.
No, some guy just asked Bill Belichick, was this the best weekend for you ever? Because you went to a Red Sox game and they won.
He goes, oh,
and then you like went to somebody else's Hall of Fame thing. Like, huh?
Oh, I thought it was Robert Kraft being silly.
Let me see.
Coach, you've had a lot of good weekends probably, but this weekend...
No.
All right.
He doesn't have enough of a bubble in his throat.
Okay, I thought that maybe that was him.
Was this the best weekend ever? Was it as good as a nice grilled hot dog sliced? You like it, right?
Nice tumbler of scotch. All right. Well, we will be right back. Teacher and Rich.